Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
My Weird Prompts is an AI-generated podcast produced by Daniel Rosehill, a verified human with documentation to prove it. While every effort is made to ensure our AI hosts draw from credible sources and run on cutting-edge models, they do occasionally make things up with alarming confidence. As with everything in life, and especially this podcast, treat all claims as spurious until confirmed to be not. Daniel, Herman and Korn accept no responsibility for any decisions made based on the confident ramblings of our artificial presenters. Now, today's episode.
Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hi there, Herman and Korn. The attention mechanism is one of the most foundational but important topics in modern AI engineering. And a lot of the really frontier work, as far as I can see, for state-of-the-art models that are trying to kind of overcome some of the most significant limitations in modern AI, namely the context window, revolve around trying to find better ways to manage attention. If we sort of imagine AI models to be like the human synthesis of human intelligence that we sort of name them after, then when we think about attention, we think about focus. We're bringing our attention onto a certain topic. And that's where my attention is. So the first question, a very abstract one for the ever engaging and witty Herman Poppleberry, is if we roll with this analogy for a second and we almost anthropomorphize, I definitely said that wrong. If we go with this process of giving human tendencies to AI tools, how would we describe the attention mechanism in those terms, in simple human understandable terms? And when we think about the fundamental challenge of the context window, the challenge being basically that the AI model, we talked about the stateless nature of AI APIs, having to basically remember everything since the start of a conversation on every single turn, and that kind of getting progressively harder. So the attention mechanism clearly has a lot to do with that, and makes sense then that the attempts to figure out a better way for AI workflows that can take us past the context windows of today and not do so through the brute force approach, as I've called it, of just more compute, more powerful models, but actually changing something more fundamental relies upon rethinking and pivoting and how attention is done. So we'd love to get the details on all these very recent and ongoing developments from Herman and Korn.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Korn, and I am here in our living room in Jerusalem with my brother and resident expert,
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. It is great to be here, Korn. We have a really fascinating one today from our housemate Daniel. He was asking about the attention mechanism in artificial intelligence, especially how it relates to those context window limits we are always hitting.
Yeah, Daniel was actually showing me a project he was working on where the model just seemed to lose the plot after a few thousand words. It is such a common frustration. He wants us to break down how attention works using the analogy of human focus, and also look at how we are moving beyond just throwing more compute power at the problem.
It is a perfect topic for right now. Here we are in January of 2026, and while we have these massive context windows in some of the flagship models, the underlying efficiency is still the biggest hurdle in the industry. I mean, think about it. If you had to reread every book you have ever read every time someone asked you a question, you would be pretty slow to respond too.
That is a great hook, Herman. That is essentially what some of these models are doing, right? So let us start there. Daniel asked for a simple, human-centric way to understand the attention mechanism. If you are explaining this to someone who does not have a degree in computer science, how do you describe what is actually happening when a model pays attention?
Okay, so imagine you are at a crowded, noisy dinner party. There are 20 people talking at once. If you tried to listen to every single word from every single person with equal intensity, you would just hear a wall of noise. You would not understand anything. Instead, your brain does something incredible. You zero in on your friend sitting across from you. You filter out the clinking of the silverware, the music in the background, and the conversation about politics three chairs down.
Right, the cocktail party effect.
Exactly. In artificial intelligence, the attention mechanism is that filter. When a model is looking at a specific word in a sentence, it does not just treat it as an isolated unit. It looks at every other word in that sentence and asks, how much does this other word matter to the one I am currently looking at? If the word is bank, the model looks at the rest of the sentence to see if it finds words like river or words like money. It puts a high weight on the relevant words and basically ignores the irrelevant ones.
So it is like a spotlight. It is not just seeing the whole stage. It is highlighting the specific actors that are interacting with each other at that moment.
That is a perfect way to put it. It is a mathematical spotlight. And the reason this was such a breakthrough back in 2017 with the original Transformer paper was that before this, models processed things in a linear line, like a conveyor belt. They would often forget the beginning of the sentence by the time they got to the end. Attention allows the model to look at the whole sentence, or the whole book, all at once and see the connections regardless of how far apart the words are.
Okay, but here is where the problem starts, and where Daniel's question about context windows comes in. If the spotlight has to check every single word against every other single word, that sounds like a lot of work. If I have a 10-word sentence, each word looks at 9 others. That is 90 checks. But if I have 1,000 words, each word looks at 999 others.
You nailed it, Korn. This is what we call quadratic scaling. In technical terms, the complexity is the square of the sequence length. If you double the amount of text you want the AI to read, you do not just double the work, you quadruple it. If you want to read 10 times more text, it takes 100 times more computational power. That is why for a long time we were stuck with these tiny context windows of maybe 2,000 or 4,000 tokens.
And that is why Daniel is feeling the pain. Even in 2026, while we have models that claim to handle millions of tokens, it is incredibly expensive to run them. It is like trying to keep a spotlight focused on every single person in a stadium all at the same time. Eventually, you run out of electricity.
Exactly. And it is not just electricity, it is memory. These models have to store all those relationships in the graphics processing unit memory. When you get into those massive context windows, the memory requirements explode. So, the industry has been looking for ways to be smarter about this. Instead of just building a bigger power plant, we are trying to invent a more efficient light bulb.
I love that. But before we get into those new light bulbs and how we are fixing the context window issue, we should probably take a quick break for our sponsors.
Are you tired of forgetting where you put your keys? Are you worried that your brain is losing its edge in this fast-paced world of 2026? Introducing Total Recall Tonic. Our proprietary blend of swamp-aged botanicals and recycled battery electrolytes is designed to coat your neurons in a protective layer of high-conductivity sludge. Users report an immediate increase in their ability to remember things they never even knew in the first place. Side effects may include glowing skin, a sudden fluency in ancient Babylonian, and a mild case of permanent hiccups. Total Recall Tonic.
Thanks, Larry. I think I will stick to my coffee and my own faulty memory for now.
Yeah? I am not sure swamp-aged botanicals are the breakthrough the AI field is looking for.
Probably not. So, back to the real breakthroughs. Herman, you mentioned that we are trying to find more efficient ways to manage attention. Daniel asked how rethinking attention can help address context window challenges without just relying on brute force compute. What are the clever ways engineers are doing this now?
This is where it gets really exciting. One of the biggest shifts we have seen leading up to 2026 is the move toward what we call linear attention or state-space models. Remember how I said traditional attention is quadratic? If you double the text, you quadruple the work? Well, researchers have found ways to make it linear. If you double the text, you only double the work.
That sounds like a massive win. How do they actually do that without losing the ability to focus?
There are a few different approaches. One is called sparse attention. Instead of every word looking at every other word, the model only looks at words in its immediate neighborhood, and then a few global anchor words that summarize the whole context. It is like if you were reading a book, and you only focused on the paragraph you are in, but you kept a little index card with the main plot points next to you. You do not need to reread chapter 1 to understand the sentence in chapter 10 if you have a good summary of chapter 1.
So it is about being selective. It is like the difference between scanning a room and staring intensely at every single brick in the wall.
Precisely. Another huge development is something called Mamba, or state space models. These are a different architecture entirely, but they achieve a similar goal. They compress the information into a hidden state that stays the same size regardless of how much text you have processed. It is like a rolling snowball. As the snowball rolls, it picks up more snow, but the model only has to deal with the snowball itself, not every individual snowflake it picked up along the way.
Wait, so if the state stays the same size, does that mean it eventually starts forgetting things? Like, if the snowball gets too big, does it start losing the snow from the center?
That is the big trade-off. That is what we call the loss in the middle problem. Even with these huge context windows, models often remember the very beginning of a prompt and the very end, but they get fuzzy on the details in the middle. In 2025 and now in early 2026, we have seen a lot of work on something called ring attention. This is a way of distributing the attention calculation across many different chips in a circle. Each chip handles a piece of the text and passes its information to the next one. This allows us to process millions, even billions, of tokens by spreading the load.
That is fascinating. So instead of one giant spotlight, it is like a whole team of people with flashlights standing in a circle, passing notes to each other.
Exactly. And then there is the software side, like Flash Attention. This was a huge breakthrough by Tridao and his team. They realized that the bottleneck was not just the math, but how fast the data could move between different parts of the computer chip. By rewriting how the data is handled at a very low level, they made the whole process much, much faster without changing the underlying math. We are now on Flash Attention version 3, which is optimized for the latest hardware we are seeing this year.
I am curious about the practical side for someone like Daniel. If he is building an app, does he need to understand the math of ring attention, or is this something that is just happening under the hood of the models he is using?
For most developers, it is under the hood, but understanding it helps you choose the right tool. For example, if you are building a tool to analyze a 10,000-page legal document, you might want a model that uses a long-context architecture specifically designed for that, rather than a general-purpose model that might struggle with the middle of the document. Also, we are seeing more use of RAG, or retrieval, augmented generation, which is another way to manage attention.
Right. We have talked about RAG before. That is where the model looks up relevant facts from a separate database instead of trying to hold everything in its immediate memory.
Exactly. Think of RAG as a library. Instead of trying to memorize every book in the world, the AI just knows how to use the library catalog. When you ask a question, it goes and grabs the three most relevant books, reads those, and then answers you. That way, the attention spotlight only has to focus on a few pages at a time. It is a very efficient way to handle massive amounts of data without needing a million token context window.
So, looking ahead through 2026, do you think we will eventually reach a point where the context window is basically infinite? Or will there always be a physical limit to how much a model can pay attention to at once?
I think the idea of an infinite context window is becoming more of a reality, but it will probably look more like a hybrid. We will have models that have a very sharp, high-resolution short-term memory and a more compressed, summarized long-term memory. It is very similar to how the human brain works. You have your working memory, which can hold about 7 things, and then you have your long-term memory, which is vast but requires a bit more effort to retrieve from.
That makes a lot of sense. It is about hierarchy. Not all information is created equal. I think that is a big part of what Daniel was asking. It is not just about more compute. It is about being smarter about what we choose to remember and what we choose to let fade into the background.
Precisely. And the latest research is focusing on dynamic attention. This is where the model itself decides how much attention to pay to different parts of the input. If it is reading a boring legal disclaimer, it might use a very low resolution scan. But if it hits a crucial clause about $1 million fine, it zooms in and uses its full processing power on those specific words.
That sounds like a massive efficiency gain. It is like speed reading. You skim the fluff and slow down for the important bits. Is that actually working in the models we have right now?
We are starting to see it in some of the more advanced experimental models released late last year. They use something called mixture of experts or conditional computation. Basically, they only turn on the parts of the brain they need for the specific task at hand. It saves a huge amount of energy and allows for much faster responses.
So, for Daniel and other developers, the takeaway is that we are moving away from the era of just bigger models and toward the era of smarter models. Efficiency is the new frontier.
Absolutely. The brute force era of 2023 and 2024 was all about scaling up. 2025 and 2026 are all about scaling down, or rather, scaling efficiently. We want the intelligence of a giant model with the footprint of a small one, and managing attention is the key to that.
It is amazing how much of this comes back to those human analogies. The spotlight, the library, the snowball, the dinner party. It feels like we are teaching machines to perceive the world in the same way we do, by filtering out the noise and focusing on what matters.
It really is. And as we get better at that, these AI tools will feel more natural. They will not get confused by long conversations as easily, and they will be able to help us with much more complex tasks because they can maintain the thread of a project over weeks or months, not just minutes.
I think that covers the main points of Daniel's prompt. We have looked at the attention mechanism as a human-like focus, explained why context windows are such a challenge, because of that quadratic scaling, and explored some of the ways we are moving beyond brute force with things like sparse attention, state space models, and more efficient hardware usage.
It is a deep well, Korn. We could talk about the specific linear algebra behind query and key vectors for hours, but I think the conceptual level is where the real insight is for most people.
Definitely. Let us wrap up with some practical takeaways. If you are a user or a developer dealing with these limitations today, what should you keep in mind?
First, be aware of the loss in the middle. If you have a huge prompt, put the most important information at the very beginning or the very end. That is where the attention is naturally strongest. Second, if you are building something, do not just assume a bigger context window is better. It is often slower and more expensive. Sometimes a well-organized RAG system is much more effective. And third, keep an eye on these new architectures like Mamba. They are going to change the cost-benefit analysis of long-form AI interactions very soon.
Great advice. And I will add one more. Remember that even the best AI today is still learning how to focus. Just like a person, if you give it too much information at once, it might get overwhelmed. Breaking things down into smaller, logical chunks is still a superpower when working with these models.
Spoken like a true analyst, Korn.
Well, I have had a good teacher. This has been a really enlightening discussion, Herman. Thanks for diving into the weeds with me.
Anytime. And thanks to Daniel for the great prompt. It is always fun to talk about what is happening in the house and in the world of tech at the same time.
Absolutely. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you enjoyed this episode, you can find us on Spotify and check out our website at myweirdprompts.com. We have an RSS feed there if you want to subscribe, and a contact form if you have a weird prompt of your own that you want us to tackle.
We love hearing from you. Until next time, keep asking those questions and keep exploring.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you in the next one. Goodbye from Jerusalem.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.